Welcome back to the OU Nachyomi Project. In today's shir, we begin our series on Divrei HaYamim Bet, the second book of Chronicles. On a technical note, before we begin our shir, the division of the book of Divrei HaYamim into two different books is a much later division. In other words, when the book of Divrei HaYamim was originally written in the beginning of the Second Temple period, it was one complete book. Its division into two sections is simply for convenience, just like the book of Shmuel and the book of Melachim are each separate books, and their division into two sections is a later division that took place in the time of the Targum HaShivim, when the Tanakh was translated into different languages. Nonetheless, there is some logic in this division. Divrei HaYamim Aleph ends with the death of David and the transfer of power to Shlomo. Divrei HaYamim Bet begins with the reign of Shlomo, the building of the Beit HaMikdash, and will continue till the destruction of the Beit HaMikdash and the end of the First Temple period. Let's begin with Pasuk Aleph, which will serve as an introduction to what's going to follow. Vayitchazek Shlomo ben David amachuto. Shlomo, the son of David, strengthened his kingdom and fortified his power. Ba'adonai Elohavimo, Hashem, his God, was with him. Ba'gadlehu lamala. And with the help of God, he was able to grow and become even greater. Pasuk Bet. Vayomer Shlomo l'cho Yisrael, l'sarei ha'alafim v'ameot v'lashoftim, u'l'cho nasi u'l'cho Yisrael rashei havot. Shlomo now, as the accepted king over the entire country, makes a command now to all of Israel, especially to the leaders of the army, and to the judges, and to all the political leaders of Israel. What was that command? It seems to be rather implicit here. The command is going to be to help build the Beit HaMikdash. Pasuk Gimel. Vayechu Shlomo v'chol kalimo l'bama asher b'givon. Shlomo, together with a large congregation, probably very similar to the leadership gathered, as we saw in the last two chapters of Divrei HaYamim Aleph, Shlomo went together with this congregation to pray to God in Givon. Kisham haya ohel moed ha'elohim. That was a site to pray because that was the place where the tabernacle was still located. Asher asam Moshe eved Adonai b'midbar. That was originally made by Moshe, the servant of God, in the desert. Let's explain here what's going on. There are two different names for what we call the Mishkan. There's the Mishkan, which reflects the concept that God's presence is resting and is represented by the Mishkan. It's also referred to as the ohel moed, which means the tent of meeting. When we focus on the idea that God's presence indeed rests in this building, we refer to it as the Mishkan. When we talk about the idea that we can meet God in this place, we refer to it as the ohel moed, the tent of meeting. Because Shlomo Melech is now coming to meet God, and we see he's going to pray to God, and God is going to respond to that prayer, that is a classic example of a meeting. And therefore, we should not be surprised that in this context, it's referred to as an ohel moed, as a tent of meeting. Why is this ohel moed, or the Mishkan, why is it located now in Givon? We know in the desert, the Mishkan was portable and hence was able to travel with them as they went through the desert and entered Israel. For about 14 years, it was located in Gilgal, because that's where the nation encamped, while the conquest and the division of the land was taking place, as described in Sefer Yoshua. And then in Sefer Yoshua, Perek Yudchet, we're told how Yoshua sets up the Mishkan on the mountain range in the city of Shiloh, higher up in the middle of the tribe of Ephraim. During the entire time period of Sefer Shoftim, the Mishkan is located in Shiloh, several hundred years. In the beginning of Sefer Shmuel, they bring the Aron to battle. The Plishtim come, take the Aron captive. The Mishkan is destroyed, even though it doesn't say that in Sefer Shmuel. Even though it only alludes to that fact in Sefer Shmuel, the fact that Shiloh was destroyed at that time is explicit in the book of Yirmiyahu in chapter 7 and 26. And from that time on, the Aron, the Ark of God's Covenant, was separated from the Mishkan. The Aron went to the field of the Plishtim. The Aron came back several months later, first to Beit Shemesh, and after the incident in Beit Shemesh, it was moved to Kiryat Yarim. During the entire time of Shaul's reign, the Aron remained in Kiryat Yarim. In the meantime, when Shiloh was destroyed, the Mishkan itself moved to Nov Ir HaKohanim. After Nov Ir HaKohanim was wiped out by Shaul, because they cooperated with David HaMelech, the Mishkan moved to Givon. When David became king, the Mishkan was in Givon, and the Aron was in Kiryat Yarim. As we've learned in Divrei HaYamim Aleph, David moved the Aron from Kiryat Yarim and brought that to Yerushalayim. He wanted to transfer the Mishkan from Givon to Yerushalayim as well and build a permanent house, the Beit HaMikdash. God told him to wait, only his son would do that. Therefore, in the meantime, the Mishkan is still located in Givon, and that's where the daily sacrifices are brought, the Korbanot Tzibor, in the meantime, are being offered in Givon. Therefore, if Shlomo wants to go and pray to God and meet God, he has to go to Givon. Pasuk Dalet, Avol Aron Elohim he'ala David mikirat Yarim. In the meantime, the Ark of God's Covenant, the Aron, David brought up from Kiryat Yarim. Bechinlo David kinatalo ohel biYerushalayim. David had prepared a place for the Aron, as he had set up a tent for the Aron in Yerushalayim. Pasuk Hey, Mizbach HaNechoshet Asher Asabat Salah ben Uri ben Chor. However, the copper Mizbeach, that's the Mizbeach Ola, the one on which the daily sacrifices are brought, the one that was built by Betzalel, the son of Uri, the son of Chor, as we know from Chumash, Sham Lifnei Mishkan Adonai, that was still located in front of the Mishkan. Vaidrasheu Shlomo Bakal. Therefore Shlomo and the congregation that had gathered with him, they now turn and search God and turn to him in the Mishkan in Givon. The Psukim seem to be explaining why is Shlomo going to Givon to pray to God. After all, David had made a tent for the Aron in Yerushalayim. The Psukim have to explain it. In the meantime, the primary place for prayer is still in Givon. Pasuk Vav, Vayahu Shlomo Sham al Mizbach HaNechoshet Lifnei Adonai, Asher Lo'ohel Moed, Vayahu Olov Olot Elef. There, in preparation for turning to God, on the Mizbach HaNechoshet, on the copper altar, Shlomo offered 1,000 burnt offerings in front of God, in front of the Ohel Moed. In response to that offering, in Pasuk Zayin, by Laila Ahu, that evening, Nira Elohim L'Shlomo, God appeared to Shlomo in a prophetic dream, Vayomer Lo, Shal Ma Aten Lach, ask me, what do you want me to give you? Pasachet, Vayomer Shlomo L'Elohim. Shlomo answered God, Ata Sita im David Avi Chesed Gadol. You did great kindness with my father David. Vimlachtani Tachtav. And you made me king instead of him. In other words, I was the son who was able to take over for the father and continue the dynasty that you promised my father. Pasuk Tet, Ata Adonai Elohim, Yamein Devarcha im David Avi. Now, what is my request? Let your promise to my father David, let that come true. Please fulfill that. Ki ata imlachtani, because you were the one who made me king. Al am rav kafar haaretz, over this great nation, and this nation is numerous like the dust of the earth. So the first thing that Shlomo asks for is for God to continue to keep his word, to allow him to become king over this great nation. And now, in Pasuk Yud, he'll ask his one final request. Ata chokhma amada ten li. Now please give me wisdom and knowledge and understanding. The Eitza'a Lifnei Amazeh Va'avoah. Recall that when God tells Moshe Rabbeinu in Sefer Bamidbar, in chapter 27, in Pasuk Yud Bet, when God tells Moshe Rabbeinu he's going to die, Moshe Rabbeinu turns to God and asks that he appoint a successor. In that request, in chapter 27, verse 15, Pasuk Tedvav, Vaydaber Moshe Adonai Lemor, Yifkod Adonai Yehei Ruchot Lecho Basar Isha Leida, Asher Yetzei Lifnehem, Vasher Yavod Lifnehem, Vasher Yotzeim, Vasher Yeviim. Moshe Rabbeinu asks God to appoint a successor to lead the people. That leadership is referred to Asher Yetzei Lifnehem, Asher Yavod Lifnehem, Asher Yotzeim, Asher Yiviim. Therefore, the phrase that Shlomo Melech is saying here, now that he is leader, give him the wisdom and the understanding and the knowledge to enable him to lead the people properly. Returning now to Pasuk Yod in Divrei Hayamim Bet, Ki mi yishpot et amcha hazeh hagadol. Because who is able by himself to judge this great nation? In order to judge this nation properly, I need extra help from you, God, to give me the wisdom and the knowledge and understanding to lead them and judge them properly. Before we discuss God's answer to Shlomo's request, I want to talk about the phrase that Shlomo Melech uses to describe how numerous the nation is. Notice at the end of Pasuk Tet, he uses the phrase, Ki ata himlachtani al am rav kafar haaretz. He talks about the nation which is numerous like the dust of the earth. That phrase, Afar Ha'aretz, should not surprise us in this context of Shlomo becoming the king to build the temple for God. The first time we find the phrase of Afar Ha'aretz is when God makes a promise to Avram Avinu after Lot departs from him at the site of Beit El, and that's at the end of chapter 13 in Sefer Breshit. There, God tells Avram Avinu in Pasuk Tetvav in chapter 13, Ki et kol ha'aretz asher ato ro'eh lecha etnenu ulezarecha ad olam, v'samti et zarecha ka'afar ha'aretz. And that second promise that God makes to Avram Avinu concerning the land, that his offspring will be numerous like Afar Haaretz, and that promise takes place in Beit El, based on the opening four lines of chapter 13, at the site where he built his Mizbeach and called out in God's name. Later on, in chapter 28 in Sefer Breshit, when Yaakov has his dream in the beginning of Parshat Vayetze, God appears to Yaakov Avinu on that same site, where he sees the ladder and the angels going up and down, and God makes a promise as follows. In Pasuk Yud Gimel in Perek Chavchet, V'nei Hashem nitzav alav v'yomar, Ani Hashem Elohei Avram Avicha v'Elohei Yitzchak, Ha'aretz asher ata shochev alea, l'chat nenu l'zarecha, the land that you're lying on, I'm going to give this land to you and your children. And then again, V'ya zarecha kafar ha'aretz, your offspring will be numerous like the dust of the earth. In response to that promise, Yaakov makes his famous neder, his famous vow, in Pasuk Chav through Chabet, that if God will be with him and bring him back to this land, then in Pasuk Chabet, Va'evan azot asher samti matzeva yeh beit Elohim, v'cho asher titen li aser asonu lach. This monument that I set up, this rock will be the cornerstone of a house for God, In everything that you give me, I will give my 10% in order to take care of this house of God. Recall as well that this is the first time that we have a concept of a Beit Elohim, of a house for God. So we see a connection here between the concept of a house for God, and in the same context, God makes the promise that his offspring will be like Afar Haaretz. Later on, when Yaakov indeed returns to Beit El, when he comes back from Lavan, he goes to Beit El, that's in chapter 35 in Bereshit, and that's when his name is changed from Yaakov to Yisrael. And that we explained already before, back in Perach Haftet in Divrei Yamim Aleph, Pasuk Yud, by Baruch David et Adonai leinei kol kahal, v'yemer David, Baruch ata Adonai Elohi Yisrael avinu meolam v'ad olam. Well, we quote every day in Sukkot Zimra, when David prays and says, Baruch ata Hashem Elokei Yisrael avinu, the God of Yisrael, our Father. We don't say Elokei Avotenu. We don't say Elokei Abraham Yitzhak v'Yaakov. Here specifically because David is gathering the nation to build the Mikdash for God and finally fulfilling the promise that Yaakov Avinu made, he refers to the God of Yisrael Avinu. He uses the name Yisrael because the name Yisrael was given to Yaakov at the site of Beit El. The site of Beit El is the place where Yaakov renews his promise to one day build a house for God on that site. That's the site where God promises him that his offspring will be like Afar Haaretz. Therefore, when Shlomo HaMelech prays to God using the phrase Afar Haaretz in regard to how numerous the nation is very fitting. So let's take a look now at God's response to Shlomo. Pasuk Yud Aleph. Vayomer Elohim leShlomo. God tells Shlomo as follows. Yan asher hayta zot im levavecha, because this is what was in your heart. V'lo sha'alta osher, nechasim v'chavod, that nefes sonecha. You didn't ask for wealth. You didn't ask for lots of property. You didn't ask for glory. You didn't ask for military victories against your enemies. V'gam yamim rabim lo sha'alta. You did not even ask for long life for yourself. Instead, what did you ask for? V'tishal lecha chochma u'mada. You simply asked for wisdom and knowledge and the understanding of God. Asher tishpot et ami, to enable you to judge my nation. Asher imlachticha alav, the nation that I made you king over them. God is so impressed with that request. Pasuk Yudbet, hachochma v'hamada natunach. Indeed, I'm giving you and blessing you with the wisdom and knowledge. V'osher unchasim v'chavod etenlach. In even what you did not ask for, I'm going to give you. I will bless you with wealth and property and glory. Asher lo hayachen l'malachim asher lefanecha v'acharecha lo yachen. That none of the kings reach those levels before you, nor will any king reach them after you. Pasuk Yud Gimel. Vayavo Shlomo labama asher begivon Yerushalayim. Shlomo came from the bama in Givon after thanking God for receiving this response. He goes to Yerushalayim milifnei Ohel Moed. From the Ohel Moed now he goes to Yerushalayim vayimlocha Yisrael. And now he's the official king over all of Israel. Now that we finish the religious aspect of the establishment of his kingdom, now we're going to talk about the military strength that he amasses as well. Pasuk Yud Dalet. Vayasov Shlomo rechevo farashim. Shlomo gathers together chariots and horsemen. Some people say parashim refers to the horses. Some people say it refers to a cavalry man, means a soldier and a horse. Vayhilo elef varbamot rechev. He had a total of 1,400 chariots. Ushneimasar elef parashim. And 12,000 horses. Vaynechem bareha rechev. He put them, or placed them, in cities set aside for these chariots. Vima melech v'Yerushalayim. Also some of the chariots and horses were kept in Yerushalayim itself. We know from Sefer Melachim, and we also know from archaeological discoveries, there were three major cities built by Shlomo along the Via Maris, along the main highway connecting Mesopotamia and Egypt. There was the city of Gezer, which is not too far from Latrun today. Then farther to the north, he built up the fortress of Megiddo, and you can still see to this day the areas built up by Shlomo in Megiddo and the gate of the city from that time period. And also he built the city of Chatzor, which is a little bit north of the Kinneret. The famous archaeologist Yigal Yadin studied all these three sites and compared the gates to these cities, all from the same time period. There's a question that arises, why is Shlomo amassing so many horses and chariots if the Torah says, Lo yabelo susim, that the king is not supposed to take too many horses and chariots? The answer sort of comes with the question, because the Torah says not to take too many. The king has to decide what's too much and what's too little. You can't take so much that you become over-dependent on your own power to the point that you don't need God anymore. You can't have too little where you're over-dependent on miracles. You have to find the right balance. Shlomo HaMelech felt that he found the right balance, but that's a topic for a more detailed study in Sefer Melachim. Here, in the meantime, Shlomo at least has good intentions and feels that it's necessary to have such a big army in order to keep his enormous kingdom under control. In addition to the horses, he also has a lot of wealth, kesef and zahav. Here again, we see another topic from Parshat HaMelech presented in a positive sense. Pasuk Tetvav, verse 15. Vayten HaMelech et hakesef et hazahav b'Yerushalayim kavanim. Gold and silver was plentiful, like stones. Vet arazim, the cedar wood, coming from the cedar trees of Lebanon, netan kishikmim, that was plentiful, like the sycamore tree, Asher b'shfilah l'rov. The most common tree in biblical times was the shikma, was the sycamore tree, which grows to a much shorter length than the eras, than the cedar of Lebanon. There were so many cedar trees that were imported from Lebanon that they were as plentiful as a sycamore tree, which was natural for this climate. Pasuk Tet Zayin, verse 16, U'motzah susim asher l'shlomo mimitzrayim, the importing of horses that Shlomo did from Egypt, u'mikveh, and also from the city of Kveh, that's a city to the north of Israel, a little bit south of Turkey, most likely in northern Syria, that seemed to be an area where it was possible to import horses from. Socharei ha-melech mikveh yichu b'mechir. This pasuk is very difficult to translate. In light of the next pasuk, we'll suggest an explanation. Pasuk Yud Zayin, ve'alu v'yatziu mimitzrayim merkava v'sheish mod kesef. The socharim, the merchants of the king who he'd sent to Egypt to bring these horses, they imported from Egypt chariots for a price of 600 shekel of silver. V'sus v'chamishim u'meah, and the price of every horse was 150 shekel of silver. V'chein l'chol machei achitim u'machei aram b'yadam yotziu. They also supplied these horses to their neighboring kings to the north of the Hittites and from Aram. Combining these two psukim together, it seems like for income, what Shlomo was able to do, he was able to import horses and chariots from Egypt and from the area of Kveh, and then he was able to sell them, most likely for a profit, to the other kingdoms located to the north. And it seems that he made a business out of importing and exporting chariots between Egypt to the south and Syria to the north. Finally, Pasuk Yedchet, Vayomer Shlomo. Then Shlomo made this command, after all this background, Livnot Bait L'Shem Adonai. Once again, he's building a house for what purpose? For God's name and reputation. U'Beit Malchuto, he's also going to command the people to begin the building project to build his own palace, which would be the palace of the king, which will represent the kingdom of Israel. That ends Perek Aleph. Shlomo has established his kingdom. God has blessed him with wisdom. Shlomo has great intentions. And the first several decades of Shlomo's rule will be very positive. And Israel will reach a level that they never reached before. And in many ways, it's going to be one of the best times in Jewish history, as we'll see in our study of the next chapter.